We are glad and honored to have you here. We appreciate Brother Wayne Warren and Miss Jackie being here this morning, have other friends from other places to visit with us, all our friends in the radio audience. I didn't mention that. We're sure glad you're part. And we're blessed this morning. Things happen, but don't just happen, as Brother John Langdon reminded me. Brother David Ring was supposed to be at another church and with a good friend of ours tonight on Sunday night up in Reedsville with Brother Tim Green. And the appointment this morning was canceled. So last Sunday, we let you know Sunday night for sure he was coming. And we're glad that you're here. He's been a full-time evangelist in 47 years. And I had some friends here who came who said they heard him 30 years ago in their church in the area when he was 12 years old. Amen. And he's been 47 years full-time evangelist. Evangelist David Ring from Nashville, Tennessee. Let's give him a good Johnson County welcome this morning as he comes to share what God laid on his heart. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, buddy.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Love you, buddy. Thank God.
Good. Thank you for coming today. It's a joy for me to be here. I've been doing this for 46 years. I know I don't look that old. Do I? Therefore, I started when I was 2. But I've been all over this country. I have spoken in every state of the United States, but I love coming to Tennessee. I love Tennessee people, but I love North Carolina more than Tennessee. In fact, do you know North Carolina is my favorite state to come to? Let me say it one more time. North Carolina is my favorite state to come to. Now, when I go to Georgia, I'd say Georgia is my favorite state. Alabama is my favorite state. I have literally learned whatever state I'm in, I'm content. How many of you know by now, I have a speech impediment. I forgot I'm in North Carolina. Everybody in North Carolina had a speech impediment. Amen? If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart in the state, I think I'm in a Pentecostal church. Everybody is speaking in unknown tongues. Somebody asked me over 40 years ago, David, are you Baptist? Yeah, I am. David, do you speak in tongues? Yeah, I do. Do you speak in unknown tongues? Absolutely. Every time I open my mouth, every word is unknown. A 91-year-old elderly lady came up to me in Mobile, Alabama, and said, David, I'm 91 years old. I've been ill every night of the revival. I love everything you do, but I have a problem. I don't catch everything you're saying. I said, ma'am, don't worry about that. I don't even catch everything I'm saying. And that's the truth. How many of you ever been to Walmart? I told my wife the other day, baby doll, when I die, build with me at Walmart. She said, say what? When I die, build with me at Walmart. She said, what for? I'd say, if I die, you'll build with me in a dumb cemetery with a bunch of dead people, you won't ever come see me. But if you build with me at Walmart, you will be there every day. and maybe twice a day till I get witness. Thank God for woman. But I love you, Billy. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Hope today that God will get all the glory in everything we do. If you have your Bible today, turn with me to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 12. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Today we are going to look at the subject, how do we overcome? How do we overcome? You can tell by listening to me and looking at me, I have a lot to overcome. I was born dead for 18 minutes. And that's why I talk the way I do and walk the way I do, because of cerebral palsy at birth. Therefore, I've been overcoming ever since then. And now I still have to overcome. Like this morning, I got up and put on my shirt, and it takes me about 45 minutes to put my shirt. Because cerebral palsy and buttons don't go together. And these buttons are built, I despise them. And the button under the knot of my tie, that button is from the pit of hell. Can I get witness? But even though you don't have cerebral palsy, I guarantee you, every one of you have something to overcome. It might have been there one day, or it might have been there for 20 years. But something down deep is eating your lunch every day. And the devil, he still kill and destroy and he say to every one of them, if they only knew. But thank God we got the power over the devil. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. They overcame him, overcame the devil. If you are a child of God today, your number one enemy is not your spouse. Duh. If you are a child of God today, your number one enemy is not your mother-in-law. Even though mine come real close. And by the way, if you tell my wife what I'd say, or I could say baby doll, they did not understand me. Thank God for a speech impediment. But they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And thank God we got the power to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The devil is seeking whom he may devour this morning in the auditorium. But thank God we can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. I love the blood of the Lamb, don't you? There was power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no forgiveness, no, no remission of sin. What can wash away all my sin? Tell me, church. What can make me old again? Tell me, church. Oh, patient is the fellow that made me white. No other found, I know. None but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And if you are a child of God, the best word I can give you, God look at us through the blood. Well, I thought I might get a little bit more amen right there. But one more time. If you are a child of God, God look at you through the blood. Ain't she white and not black? And thank God we can tell the devil to go to hell. It's legal. Amen. And you can tell the devil, yeah, the one who know me the best, love me the most. They're not only overcome by the blood, but we overcome by the word of our testimony. And I believe what 46 years, I'm convinced that this is the breakdown in the child of God's life. Because Jesus did the blood on Calvary. But if we're going to overcome every day, we got to tell our story every day. Huh? The day I don't tell my story, the day I don't overcome. Huh? But when I tell my story every day, I will overcome every day. You'd say, preacher, what are you talking about? I can't tell my story every day. Why not? Well, my story is too long. No, it's not. Your story is not too long. In fact, your story is three words. May I give you your story today? May I? Your story is, I am blessed. I am blessed. You'd say, preacher, you don't know who I've been. No, I don't. But I know one day, today, you are blessed. You'd say, well, I don't feel blessed. I feel like I'm going through a hell. Well, you may feel like you're going through a hell, but you are going through hell blessed. You'd say, well, I don't feel blessed. Well, I'm telling you today, you are blessed. Therefore, let's proclaim right now our story. I am blessed. Say again. Louder. One more time. One more time. Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and ask you, how are you? Just say, I'm blessed. And leave out all the other details. They don't give a whip. Especially church people. I will not ask church people how they do. Number one, I'm afraid they're going to tell me. Number two, I don't want to know. How you doing? Oh, my back killing me. How you doing? So I don't think I'm making today. That's pitiable. Every little pain you go through in life, you'd say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is my feet, woe is my leg, woe is my back, woe is my head. Oh, get over it. Take your number and get in line. Huh? I guarantee you, when you train yourself and you say, I am blessed about 30 times every morning, in 31 days, you will get it so easy that all you know how to say, I'm blessed. I'm going through the biggest storm, but I'm blessed. I don't feel like I'm on the mountain, but I'm blessed. God is good. I know that, but I'm blessed. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to live a victorious life, just adopt those three words in your life.
Amen.
Many people, they got have a handicap. No, I don't. I have a platform to tell my story, which is, many people think, I have a disability. I don't have a disability. I have a platform to tell my story, which is, many people think, I have a problem to live with that. I don't have a problem. I have an opportunity to tell my story, which is, I am blessed. Many people think, I have a burden to live with. I don't have a burden. I have a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Now look at me. Cerebral palsy, it's not a punishment. Cerebral palsy is a blessing. May I prove it?
Yes.
May I?
Yes.
I'm the only man alive that have been the four children and never changed one diaper. I believe. I remember when my wife was having our baby, she would come up to me every now and then and say, he'll go change. They'll da da da, but I said, not me. I held cerebral palsy. And she was dumb enough to believe it. She knew if I changed the diaper, it'd be all over the wall. Now, don't you wish you out sweeping palsy? Four kids, five grandbabies, no diapers. Can't anybody top that story? I'm done. Ain't God good?
Amen.
God is faithful.
Yes, amen.
Everybody has the same story, which is, I am blessed. But everybody have a different journey to get there.
Yeah.
Where are you today? Where are you today on your journey? You feel like you're stuck on the side of a mountain and cannot go up or down. Do you feel like you're in the Lord's valley? Where are you today? Why don't you be real? Why don't you be authentic by beginning to say, I'm going to hell. But I'm blessed. Because when you say, I'm going through a difficult journey in my life, but I'm blessed, one day that all will come out of your mouth. I was born, my journey began Jonesboro, Arkansas, 1953. I was born dead for 18 minutes. The oxygen couldn't get to my brain. And therefore, when I came out, I was a dead baby, blue baby, stillborn baby. And because my mama was dying on the delivery table, they took my dead body and put it on my table by the wall, and I lay on the table for 18 minutes. Can you imagine being there for 18 minutes? Try to wrap your heart around that. I'm not supposed to be here today. I'm supposed to be a vegetable. They tell me you can only be there for 7 minutes at the most without severe brain damage. I was there for 18. I'm not supposed to be a vegetable, but I'm not a vegetable. Do you know why? Because it's not over until God says it's over. Amen. It's not over until God say it's over. And remember this today, God always had the eye on the dead baby. When I was 11 years old, my daddy got sick. 2 weeks later to the day, my daddy died of cancer of the liver. Well, I'm the baby of 8. And I'm not only the baby of 8, but I'm a 8 number one mama baby boy. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a mama boy because I got the mama baby face. You know the face only a mom can love? You've been there too, huh? Many of you been there. Many of you look like you've been beaten with a ugly stick. Do you want me? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You may be bled, but you're still ugly. But Billy told me to tell you that. I will never say that on my own. But being a mom boy and being a boy with cerebral palsy, mama had to overcompensate everything I did. And my mom fed me every day. Every time I feed myself the food bar of my fork and my spoon, and therefore my mama had to feed me every day. My mama did everything for me. My life was wonderful. My mama clothed me, bathed me, and she even talked for me. It just dawned on me about 5 months ago. I said my first word at the age of 5. Not because of cerebral palsy, but mama did all the talking for me. Duh. But one day in my life, at the age of 14, my mama got sick. She was in the hospital. I had the operation on the neck the day before Mother's Day, 1968. July, 2 months later, the doctor came to my family and said, your mama will never come home again. She had cancer. She had 6 months at the very, very moment to live. I'd say, oh, no, no, my mama, they don't know my mama. My mama not going to die on me. My mama told me every day, David, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. I will always defend you. You can count on my mama. My mama not going to die. But October 16th, 1968, my mama drew a last breath. And I saw my mama go from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. And when my mama died, I died. Everything in me died. My mama loved me, but my mama lied to me. I was thrown into a cold war, and that's not supposed to happen. My mama told me I will never abandon you, but yeah, she died on me. And everywhere I went, somebody pulled their finger and said, look, the boy walking, look, the boy talking, look, the boy can do nothing. That boy is retarded, and I quit. I couldn't go home to my mama, and I couldn't say, mama, somebody made fun of me. She couldn't put her arm around me and make her better. People look at me. I would lay in bed every day, every night, with chills running down my face, begging to die. Why? Because I was lonely. Why? Because I was longing to be in my mom's arms one more time. My sister, my 14 years older than me, took me in. My sister, I had a husband and three children, and they took me in, and that's what everybody knew, but everybody don't know. My sister molested me for 2 years. I can't believe that a part of my journey. A 14-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, a 16-year-old boy. I was going through my teenage years. I was going through an emotional time, and she molested me. And she told me, every time, David, you know I love you. I'm the only one who love you. That if you ever tell anybody, I'm going to kick you to the curb because nobody wants you, it's all your fault. Sticking stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. But one day, thank God, I knew that my sister was coming in, therefore I left the house. And I walked up to the top of the hill, found my church. They were having a revival. I didn't want to go into the church because God don't love me. When my mama died, I'd say, God is not good all the time. God don't love me. God don't even like me. God is angry with me. What can I do to deserve this much pain? But to get away from the monster, I went in the door of the church, and I believe with all my heart, when I went in the door of the church that night, God peeped over the balcony of glory and said, yep, you're on time. Today is the day of salvation. And the Bible says when somebody gets saved, angels rejoice. Do you believe that? Therefore, God had to call all the angels over and say, angels, look at that 16-year-old boy. He is lonely. He is He had attempted suicide every other day for 2 years. But he don't think I love him, but stick with him and strike of the band, because baby boy is going to be born again at the altar of God. Against who were among the angels, my mama. I guarantee you, I can't prove it now, but I will prove it when I get there. My mama shouted all over heaven and said, my baby boy, it's going to be just fine. Because my baby boy got saved. And God took away my old days and gave me new days. God took away my loneliness and gave me happiness. God took away my sorrow and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at me. I still walk with that lamp. I still talk, but all the joy that floods my soul, because Jesus touched me and made me whole. I'm not the same anymore. I've been changed by the power of God. I still have cerebral palsy, but thank God, cerebral palsy don't have me. If I can overcome cerebral palsy, you can overcome anything in your life. And I thank God, God used my salvation to change a old high school for him in Liberty, Missouri. I went back to school with a brand new attitude. The student body was so dumbfounded by the way I looked, they had to call together an all-school assembly, 1,400 students in the student body, and they wanted me to stand on stage and tell them what happened to me. And remember this, many of them, over half of them, made fun of me. But therefore, I got on stage that day. I said, student body, I went to an old-fashioned revival. I gave my life to God. I don't understand that yet, but I know one day I don't want to die anymore. I want to live. Why? Because I found someone worth living for. Number two, I found what I'm worth dying for. Amen. Wow. And you know what they did? The student body found me to be the most popular boy in the student body. Pretty good, huh? I went from a zero to King David overnight. They wanted me to be minister's good spirit. They wanted me to be the vice president of my class. I even beat out a good-looking cheerleader. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I'm the only man you know that been out of school over 47 years that still got the yearbook on the coffee table. They wanted to put it up in the attic. I said, heck no, leave it on the coffee table. I'm throughout the yearbook. I'm on every other page. Leave it on the coffee table. They did not know. The number one job the school gave me, because I was a vice president, my job was to pick out pictures to go into the yearbook. That's why I'm on every other page. I might be dumb, but not stupid. They voted me to be the football, basketball, and track manager of the year. I can believe how God changed me on the inside out. Yeah, I don't want to die because I got someone worth living for. Amen? And when I was a football manager, I learned three things that stuck with me in my life. Number one, if I don't do my job as a manager, nobody else could do their job. Number two, I found out it takes everybody, even a lowly manager, to make a team. Number three, I found out I will never be a quarterback. But watch this. I could always help somebody to be the best quarterback. Wow, I still got skin in the game. Why am I ill today? Because I want to encourage you, don't give up. I'm still giving living water to people. If I don't do my job, nobody else could do their job. Church, listen to me. It's time to get out of the stage and get on the playing field. It's time to get the lead out and put the Lord in. It's time to get off your blessed assurance. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to do what God called you to do. Some of you need to sing in the choir. You'd say, well, I don't sing anymore because somebody hurt my feelings. Well, whippity-doody. You big babies, don't let the doorknob hit you as you leave today. Who always? A bunch of babies? A soldier in the army of God. Get off a wall. You don't have any excuse for not serving God. If God can use me, look what God can do with you. They told me I would never be a preacher. But I am. Now, get this down in your head. I got more discouragement after I got saved than before. And my discouragement came from churches and preachers. They tell me, you will ever make it. I only been doing it 46 years. I may not make it. They said, David, you won't get enough invitation to make a living. But look at me. I have spoken in over 7,900 different churches. With a speech impediment, with pain in my body. I wake up in pain, I go to bed in pain. Pain is my story, but I never gave up. I've been doing the stuff because God gave me the power. Because I'm dumb enough to believe that I can do all things through Christ, which destroyed me. I remember when I was 19 years old, I came down the aisle of the church and I gave my preacher the hand and I said, preacher, God called me to preach. And my preacher looked at me and said, David, Don't be silly and say figma of your imagination. Go back to your seat. Sunday night, I came down there. I said, preacher, God coming to me. I said, David, I told you this morning, I'm telling you tonight, it's a figma of your imagination. God did not call you to preach. Now go back and sit down. When tonight, I came again. And by the way, I love to sit in different locations when I go to church. You know why? Because I want the devil to look for me. You need to change it up some. And Wednesday night, I said, preacher, God coming to me. He looked at me and he said, David, I told you why, I told you why. I'm telling you for the third time. And the last time God did not call you to preach, God will never call you to preach. God can use anybody like you in the pulpit. Go back to your seat and don't ever come again. What would you do if that were you? I tell you what you would do. You would leave the church that day. And on the way out the door, you will either say out loud or under your breath, the hell with the church. You know what I did? Sunday morning, back down the aisle. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, when you are born dead for 18 minutes, and when you have cerebral palsy your whole life, you can play deaf anytime you want to. And I came down, I said, preacher, God coming to preach. I know you don't believe in the devil. I'm going to spend my life making you eat coal. And I'm happy to tell you, my 91-year-old preacher, he's still alive. He's been chowing down for 46 years. Now, where would I be if I left the church over that? Number two, why do you leave a church? You won't talk about it? Oh, don't bring that up. Because it won't do the job. God don't want your excuses. God don't want your ability. God want your availability. And I wonder what they did. I wonder what they did when they turned on the TVs in 1989 through 2007 and saw me on the Old Time God Bible with my friend, Dr. Gilbert Falwell. I was with him for 18 years in a row. Do you want to touch me? I wonder what they did when they turned on the TV and saw me preaching with John Hagee at the Cornerstone Hour. I've been with John 21 times. I wonder what they did when they turned on the radio and heard me on Focus on the Family with Dr. Dobson. I tell you what my preacher did. My preacher called me one day in the year 2000 and said, David, let me tell you what happened to me. I was going down the road driving, and I turned on the radio, and you came on, Dr. Dobson, and you gave your life story, and I had to pull over to the sight of the woebegone, my chills will blind me. David, will you forgive me? Don't need to preach. God used your discouragement to encourage me. Amen. I'm the man I am today because of your discouragement. Begin to use everything for the good to you that love God. And my friend, if God can use me, God can use you. Do you know that's the only thing I do for a living? I'm not on my church staff. I'm not on my church people. I'm not on anybody's people. I go from church to church, from town to town. I don't go to a church on a set amount either. I go to a church on a free will love offering. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means if you don't give, I don't eat. Duh. That's the truth. I don't know what I'm going to get today. I don't have a clue what you're going to give me in the love of it after the supper. But I know one day I'm having the time of my life. Do you know, I could be a wheelbarrow. I could be on total disability. You could be paying my way, whether you want to or not. And I'm begging you today to keep me off wheelbarrow. But ain't God good? Because I can do all things through Christ. And you go down 5 words there, and say, and my God shall supply all your needs. I don't get any money in the mail. I did not go that route 46 years ago. But God, I don't want to depend on monthly donation. I want God to bless me after you hear what God done in my life. And I thank God I've been over 79 churches. And I thank God at the end of the day, God has given me what God wants. Amen. They told me I would never finish college. But I did. I crammed 4 years of college into 5. 4 years of college into 5. Now, wait 1 second. Don't ever say 4 years of college into 5 in North Carolina. They don't understand that. They told me I would never ride a bicycle, but I do without training wheel. They told me I would never drive a car, but I do. I drove all the way from Nashville to here last night by myself. And today I'm going to go speak for Tim Green, and at church, I will go right back to Nashville. Therefore, I'm warning you, I'm leaving about 20 minutes after you do. I highly recommend for you to go home. If you want to go out to eat, get it to go. That's your warning. They told me I would never find a wife, but I did. They said, David, no woman will love you. Why not? You're not good enough. No woman will love a crippled man. And I believe that. Until September 5, 1981, I stood down at the First Baptist Church of St. Charles, Missouri, and I looked at the double door open wide, and all of a sudden, I saw a beautiful bride in a white gown coming down the aisle, and she was beaming from ear to ear. She was dynamite. She was knocked out. I remember crippled in my body, but my eyesight okay. They told me I would never be a daddy 5 weeks after the date. My wife called me and said, "Babe, I went to the doctor today and I'm pregnant." I said the most stupid thing a husband could ever say to a wife. How could that be? And she picked up on that and said, "I don't know. Tell me, big boy." Every time I look at my wife, she got pregnant. After the fourth one, I walk around with my house. "Baby, I'm not looking. I'm a daddy to 3 girls. One boy, April 37 years old. She graduated with a master's degree in psychology. Got married about 13 years ago. Got 3 adorable children that call me Puppy. I'm not a grandpa. I'm way too young to be a grandpa. I'm a puppy. And my wife is no grandma either. She is Bella, B-E-L-L-A, which stands for beautiful. Ashley, our chicken daughter, is 34 years old, and she's graduated from college with a 4.1 GPA. Ashley got my brains because I don't have any. Somebody got mine. When somebody tells you you got your children got your looks, that's not a compliment. They're saying, "You don't have anything." But she got married about 7 years ago and tried so many times to get pregnant, and she could not. But thank God, 1 year ago today, she gave birth to a baby girl. Ain't God good? Yeah. My boy Nathan, he is 32, and he is single, and my boy is available. And at the table in the lobby, I will be taking an application. If you want my boy, you can't have my boy. Your age does not matter. You can be 92 years old. You do good. My baby is Amy Joy. Amy is 28 years old. Amy graduated from high school in May of 2008, only by the grace of God. Amy either going to put me in the grave or in a mental ward. I thought cerebral palsy was tough to live with until she came along. She looked at me one day and said, "Well, Daddy, I didn't not ask before." I said, "Yeah, you better thank God, because if you did ask before, I would say no." Can I give witness? I mean, graduate from Belmont University with a 3.5 GPA. Amy, a registered nurse at St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville on the ICU ward. I can make you this promise. If I ever get sick, I will never go to St. Thomas Hospital. Because I know what she will do. She will come into my room about midnight and unplug me. And she waits several hours and then come on. "Mom, I don't know what hell we done." But Amy got married about 2 years ago, gave birth to a big boy September of last year. Payback. I'm praying that boy be so mean. Everything she put me through. But look at me. Every time I look at my family, look at my life, my ministry, all I can say, I am blessed. Every time I look at my children and my wife, I'd say, I thank God every day for the death of my mom. Because if my mama did not die, they would not be born. If my mama did not die, I would never find a wife. That's pretty. If my mama did not die, I would never answer the call to preach. If my mama did not die, I would not be here today. But thank God, he knows. He had to work behind the scenes. He had to work out little details to bring today to happen. So my question is, mom, pain, but no gain. But I guarantee you, whatever you go through in life, if you start giving God all the glory for the good times and bad times, your mountain peak will grow closer together. Nancy sprang about March, April maybe. They are making a movie today in Hollywood. And the name of the movie they are working on today is The Boy Born Dead. And the movie is going to be about me. I'm going to be in theater all over America. You won't touch me. But people look at me. Now you can say, God is good. All the time, God is good. God is faithful all the time, God is faithful. Four questions, I'm done. Number one, what are you doing in your life for the kingdom of God? Number two, what are you doing in your life for the kingdom of God. Number three, can you do it anymore? Let me wait on you to answer that. Number four, what will God help to do to make you believe? Number five, what would it take for you to say all to Jesus, I surrender all to him, a freely gift? God, you want my ability. God, you want my availability. And today, with Belia, we did not go over the invitation, but let me obey God. Today, nobody can sing. Nobody can play either. In any moment, I want to ask Billy to come down and stand down front and look at me. I'm going to ask every one of you, who's not doing all you can for the kingdom of God. I want you to leave your seat and come to the preacher and say, preacher, today God got my attention, and today I make myself more available to God. And then go back to your seat. You'd say, preacher, why do you want me to come? Number one, every time my feet get to moving, my faith kick in. Your faith have not kicked in for decades. But today, you've got the opportunity to clean the slate and say, I'm all in. I'm going to do what God wants me to do in my life. Now, do you understand the invitation? Do you overhear? Do you know what I'm asking you to do? I'm asking if you're not doing all you can, I want you to leave your seat and come and say, preacher, I want to be more available to God. And they go back to your seat. Do y'all understand the invitation here? Do y'all believe? Do y'all believe? Are you ready to come? I'm going to ask nobody. I'm going to ask no one to leave the auditorium. Don't even think about it. You'd say, preacher, you know what time it is? Yeah, well, I do. It's later than it ever been in your life. And you got the opportunity to clean the slate and say, God, I'm available. And but believe if you have other staff, you want to help you at the altar. I'm going to leave that up to you. But I'm begging no one, please give God about 5 minutes. It could make a difference. Are you ready to come? Are you ready to come with Billy? Come. And I'll be the first one down. I make myself more available.
God bless you, Brother David.
To God.
That's right.
I pray God may use me until the day I die.
Amen, buddy.
Are you ready to come? You stand. Right now, everybody's standing. And you start walking. Please don't leave. Let God be God in your life. Let God go into overtime today. Well, David, you make me uncomfortable. Good. I normally don't come at the altar. Well, I'm asking you, don't be normal. Be abnormal. You come. Please come. Not for my benefit, but for yours. I'm not supposed to live past the age of 30. I'm 65. I'm not supposed to speak every weekend, but I do. No one's slowing down inside. But God, I want to be a manager until the day I die. I want to encourage you today that you can be all God wants you to be. But see, I want to be available to God. Thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Ghost this morning. You come, give God one more opportunity to bless you this morning. Give God one more opportunity to pour heaven on your hell in your life.